Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We are thankful that you have joined us today. It is the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very good. Pleased to be here and to also greet all of our listeners this morning.
Glad to be along with you again as we prepare to hear this Sunday's Gospel from St. Mark.
Right. This is from St. Mark's Gospel, Chapter 3, and it has a variety of different teachings in it. So we'll go through it and then hopefully be able to unpack a few of them. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them to even eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but he is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. His mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting to note that at the beginning of the gospel, it seems like everyone is angry and hostile toward Jesus and to his disciples because he's not conforming to what they want him to do. And they're kind of missing the big picture of the situation.
Right. Of course, the teaching of Jesus in its whole really has the potential to upset people because it is, we might say, the thinking of God in human terms and language. And so when we possess only our human rational way of thinking, we don't see the whole picture. And of course, Jesus came to set us free, to open our minds and our hearts to the truth of God. And so these things, whatever he was saying to them in the previous chapters really was upsetting them and creating a stir among them. And so obviously his relatives heard of this and they wanted to get him away because people were saying he's out of his mind. And so they were trying to, in a sense, save him. And even the accusation was made that he is possessed by Beelzebub and by the prince of demons, he drives out demons. And so there was this sense he was exorcising people and helping those who were possessed by an evil spirit. And this, I think, would create stir in any of us, you know, if mm-hmm. we would just see this on the streets and here's this, Jesus is there trying to do this. And so it would obviously create a bit of a difficulty with people, and especially with the scribes and the Pharisees and those who were there with them.
So I wanted to ask you, Bishop, because maybe not a lot of us know this, but I know I didn't. I didn't understand this at first. And he uses the different name there for the devil. But interesting to see that in the middle of this passage, he says, no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. And when I looked at that again and kind of thought about it, the strong man he is tying up is the devil. The strong man he is tying up is Satan.
Yes. I mean, it all, of course, is predicated on what is said before in that particular part of the gospel today, that he began to speak to them in parables. And so when they're accusing him of driving out demons by the prince of demons, so Jesus takes the moment to speak to them and saying, really putting questions into their minds. And of course, this was a way of a famous way in the Jewish tradition to ask a question, not to just answer the question, the answer, give the answer directly, but to really create a question. And how can Satan drive out Satan? So in a sense, it's appealing to their rational thought.
It creates a conversation.
Right. How can Satan drive himself out? Because if a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom would not stand. So there would be no power in Satan if he was driving it out. But how could he do that himself? So it's rather complicated in our terminology for today. But just in general terms, I mean, a kingdom that's divided against itself, say internal rebellion in any country or among any people or in a home, in a family, when it begins to divide and kind of wars against itself, it's not going to stand. It's going to be difficult to have any kind of power in that house. So even he goes on, a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. And that is the end of him. So that, I mean, I think that's it's certainly a call to unity for people. That Jesus, who he is not going to drive himself out. You know, he's here to promote and to build up unity among peoples in houses, etc. So the fact of the accusing him of driving out Beelzebub with Beelzebub or demons with demons, with the prince of demons, was absurd. So he was just trying to create that that sense that it cannot happen, because unity is the only strong force in any kind of a society.
And then it goes on to talk about the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. So he brings the Holy Spirit into this as well.
Right. But let's go back to where you began, with the strong man and tying up the strong man. In other words, whatever inside of us, I mean, I think within a community or even within ourselves, whatever is warring against ourselves, to tear ourselves down, to tear a community down, you have to tie up that first. So that sin, that force of evil that might be in a community, that might be within a person, even the fact, let's just say, putting it in general terms, if a person lives in a community, but he or she is constantly criticizing, judging, speaking bad about someone, gossiping about someone. So that's that inner strength of evil or sin that is tearing the house apart. So when you enter a house, you have to tie that up. If you're going to build up the house, if you're going to build up the person, if you're going to build up the family, if you're going to build up the community, you have to tie up that strong negative force that may be there in order to bring back unity and peace to that family, that community, that church, whatever it is. Because the strength and the power of negativity in any of our lives or communities will only tear us down and tear us apart.
As you mentioned, we become more and more divided and more divisive, and nothing ever gets done.
Right, and especially I think in our society, when we make negativity and evil look glamorous, as you know, is done on so many kind of these real life programs or whatever they call them, It looks glamorous to criticize your neighbor, to be on one side of the fence instead of the other. And these shows that the people just sit there and tear each other apart. I mean, that's the negative strength of disunity that pulls people apart. And when you glamorize it and it becomes something fashionable and people think, well, this is normal, you know, what is abnormal becomes normal, then we're in trouble. And I think just to say, you know, in general about our society, this is a real threat to us right now, that we demonize other people. We demonize cultures. We demonize religions. We demonize so many things, which is no help in creating the kingdom of God and the plan of God. God created us all for unity. We are created in unity, the unity of God in the image and likeness of God, who is unity, through the unity of our mother and father, and for unity, to build up unity. But when we get into these practices of tearing people apart with our language, with our gossip, with our lies, then you know the prince of demons is around. So when it says that, when Jesus says that whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, the Holy Spirit brings truth and light and peace. So people that sit there and deny the Holy Spirit, blaspheme the Holy Spirit by their actions, by their words, by their negative words and attitudes.
And hurtful.
More than hurtful. Hurtful. But I think, you know, that hurtful is that it's tearing people apart. So that's what he means, that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth that brings peace and joy and love. And when all of that is denied by another person, then they have an unclean spirit. And if they persist in that, that cannot be forgiven.
Thank you, Bishop. When we return, we will continue our discussion of today's gospel for the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. You're listening to Our Shepherd's View. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And Bishop, you had a wonderful explanation about dividing ourselves and how this happens in our society. And we need to bring ourselves together to be positive and avoid negativity. But we go back to the gospel, and in the beginning of the gospel, the people had hostility toward Jesus, and they thought that he was out of his mind. So his relatives heard about it, and they came to see exactly what was going on.
Right. Toward the end of the gospel, then, it says his mother and his brothers arrived. So obviously here is, you know, those relationships. And of course, I don't want to get into brothers and sisters because, of, you know, that's we look at it from our without a knowledge of the biblical language, the biblical terms that are used also in the time of Jesus, even today. We talk about brothers and sisters, and they're not blood-related. But we shouldn't limit ourselves to, are these really brothers and sisters by blood, which then questions the virginity of Mary, then questions Joseph, and, you know, we create chaos there because there's a deeper meaning than all of that. So we don't want to get hung up in.
We should not take it too literally.
We don't want to take it so literally that we get hung up in it, but I think, you know, all along, I think when we look at this whole gospel and that Jesus is inviting everybody into this family, that's why he came, because he prayed at the end, Father, may they all be one, you know, that we be one as a human family, that we be one in our love for one another, in our concern for one another as human beings. And so this whole thing of dividing the house against itself with the strong powers of sin and negativity that we spoke of earlier is certainly not what he's doing. He's inviting people to convert their hearts, to change. That's why he says every sin is forgivable except the sin of blasphemy, so against the Holy Spirit. So everything, you know, every wrong can be corrected by God's mercy. What can't is when a person, and we each of us have the possibility to reject everything, even the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we just completely eradicate the presence of God, the presence of his power, the presence of Jesus' power that he gave us through the Holy Spirit, that we just reject that and we go on our own. And some people, you know, even people that can be people of faith, in a certain way can be rejecting the Holy Spirit, those inspirations that the Spirit gives us to live the life of Jesus. So we have to always be careful and be in tune with the gift of this Holy Spirit. So a test is, are we living a life that promotes unity among peoples, or are we constantly with our thoughts and our words and our actions dividing? So that's something to lead in then to the last part of the gospel where his mother and his brothers arrive. So here is that group of people that is around him together with his disciples. And so standing outside, seeing the commotion that was going on, yet the teaching that Jesus was giving the people, standing outside, they called for him. And the crowd that was seated there with him said, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." So again, he takes the opportunity when they call his relatives, blood relatives. They could be cousins, the brothers and sisters. But he says in reply, again, another question, a profound question to not catch them off guard or off balance, but who is my mother and my brothers? Who are they? What really identifies any person, even today? How can we identify ourselves as brothers, sisters, mothers of Jesus? It's not by blood, obviously. Jesus, even in the Gospel of St. John, says, "I no longer call you servants, but friends," because a friend knows what his master is about. So Jesus communicates to us through the Word of God who we are, the spiritual blood, the spiritual stream of life, the spiritual light enters our life through his word. Just quickly, I was looking at the news the other day through one of the news services, Catholic news services, and it showed the Pope on a YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 30 seconds. But he's sitting behind a desk, and he's pleading with us with a smile on his face to just how many of you read the gospel, read the scripture 2 minutes a day, and he keeps throwing up the sign two. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's all I ask. 2 minutes. How many of us do that? Because he said when you read the Word of God, even for 2 minutes, you are being put in touch with Jesus himself, because the Word of God is a presence of God. Jesus communicated his words through the Gospels, in the Gospels, to us to give us life. So the fact that I can read a sentence of the Gospel and all of a sudden kind of the lights, spiritual lights come on, mm-hmm. It's like the spiritual blood, the spiritual life of God is entering me. It connects me to the Word of God. And so in that sense, Jesus is saying, who is my mother and my brothers? And looking around, the gospel goes on, and at those seated in a circle, he said, here are my brothers, my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is brother, sister, and mother to me. So he elevates the relationship that we can have with him as both our Savior and our God. He elevates that to the simple fact of doing the will of God, to think with God, to think in unison with the Word of God. When someone says, you know, when Jesus, for example, says, love your enemies, and we say, yeah, but we're not in sync. So
right.
We're not a brother or a sister or a mother to Jesus at that time. We've kind of putting ourselves in opposite positions with that. Last night I went to see the movie with the Knights of Columbus sponsored the movie, Pope Francis, A Man of His Word. And it was so powerful, and I would just encourage anyone to go see it, certainly. But it's just the whole thing. It's so in line with Scripture. I mean, he's constantly, the Pope, in his interviews, is going back and constantly, through action and word, connecting to the gospel, to the things that Jesus said. And so at the end, it struck me, and they asked me to say a word at the end of the movie. And I said, you know, there's certain things that the Pope said, quoting Jesus, that kind of make us uncomfortable. I'm sure there were a couple of things made me uncomfortable personally, you know, but I know that that's the Word of God. And those things that make us uncomfortable about the gospel, we should listen to, because in that, God is calling us, the Holy Spirit is calling us to a greater conformity to the truth. Because the truth hurts. I mean, my mother and dad used to say that all the time whenever they were correcting us or we got caught in something. The truth hurts. And it does, but it also purifies. The truth, and this is one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, he'll knock you off your horse and he'll pick you back up in the same instance. You know it's wrong. You know what is said, it's the truth. You know you're not living the truth, but then you have the hope to live the truth. And that's the beauty of God's grace. So if those moments happen, then God is working in our lives. And this is what he's calling the people to. Whoever does the will of God is brother and sister and mother. Very simple. The will of God is the Word of God. I mean, the Word expresses to us what the will of God is. We can create our own worlds. We can create our own religions. We can create our own versions of the gospel to make me feel comfortable, to ease my conscience. But our conscience is never, never, ever correct unless it is in line with the Word of God and with us doing the will of God. So in all of this about being divided, blaspheming, Jesus in the end, with the presence of his own mother, is calling everyone to this new relationship that Mary was the first to have. Mary's the first disciple. And as we've recently now celebrating her as Mother of the Church, she's there with us to lead us, guide us, not as God, she's not God, but she is the first disciple. She's the first one to receive the Word and adhere to it without a doubt, with no doubts, that whatever God wanted, she did. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. So her will became God's will. God's will was her will. And this is the type of relationship, as strong as the negative seems at the beginning of this gospel, it's ultimately a call to all of us to adhere, to open our lives, open our eyes, open our ears to the will of God.
And our Holy Mother, Mary, can intercede for us.
And then she's there as mother. There would intercede for any of us.
Absolutely.
They do here on earth, and certainly they do afterlife in heaven. They intercede with us and for us. So the other thing I would just bring out from the movie of Pope Francis that he strongly, strongly encourages over and over, and I think it would do well for us this morning and every day, is escuchar, listen. He was so strong with that this is an era in dialogue of getting to know people, not to judge. You know, I mean, the negative programs we talked about earlier that create a culture, it's not listening. Nobody listens to each other. They yell at each other. They criticize one another. They gossip about each other. But no one listens. And so the Pope, and I think the gospel here today, is saying simply to listen so that you will know the Word of God, the will of God, and adhere to it, and thus become truly related to Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Bishop. So much work we still have to do, but thank you for setting the course for us spiritually as we enter a new week. If you would now end with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, from whom all good comes, grant that we, who call on you in our need, may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance do it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View, with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.